For those of you who are guests today, my name is Jerry Ingalls, and I'm so glad that you're with us today. We're going to be talking about a very important subject matter. One of the great benefits of the gospel of Jesus Christ is joy. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, in the midst of a very difficult hardship, Nehemiah taught us this. The Bible says, "Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Have you ever heard someone say that to you? The joy of the Lord is your strength? I'm going to talk to you today about a battle drill. The battle drill that we're going to get from Proverbs chapter 15, verses 13 to 16. Now, today's going to be a modified message. I'm going to be doing this message in its fullness later in August. So if you feel a little cheated today, I don't know, 45 minutes to an hour, you are a great Baptist. You, and we'll be back to doing that later. But today we're going to do a little bit more of what the high church tradition calls a homily, which means we're going to go for about 20 to 30 minutes. Emily, you can time me. And so, you know, we're just going to do our best to communicate the truth of God in a church picnic safe environment, okay? So, the gospel of Jesus Christ gives us joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, the way this is taught often makes you feel guilty when you don't respond to heinous circumstances with joy, okay? You know, when you get a cancer diagnosis, or you find out a loved one is sick or hurt, or someone's in a car accident, or someone flies airplanes into the Twin Towers, or whatever tragedy happens, so often Christians are all of a sudden hit with this sense of guilt, like, how am I supposed to have joy right now? You know, I'm supposed to rejoice always. I'm supposed to... Now, so here's the key. Now, this is what we're going to learn today. Joy is not a response to bad circumstances. Joy is a bedrock. Joy is a foundation. Joy is the rock in which you stand when you experience train wrecks, hardships, deaths, difficulties, financial strain, problems at work. Does this sound familiar? When things are not going well in your life, you are not commanded to put on some kind of false front and pretend to be happy. Okay? This command that we're going to talk about today, this battle drill, is not what I call plastic Christianity. Okay? I am not inviting you to plastic Christianity where you pretend to be happy when everyone else is weeping around you. What I'm going to teach you today is how to survive hardship, so that when sadness, when grief, when difficulty comes, you can have an authentic emotional response without getting hijacked by it, because the bedrock of your being is joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength, so that you can survive the difficult moments of your life. Okay? And there's a huge difference there. So let's go ahead and read our scripture today. Proverbs 15, verses 13 to 16. The Bible says, "A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. The mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on folly. All the days of the afflicted are bad, but a cheerful heart has a continual feast. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure in turmoil with it." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, which is eternal and everlasting. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, who reminds us of all the commands of Jesus, so that we may live according to them and please you. Lord, you have called us to a life of discipleship. You have called us to a life of walking in the Spirit, to a life of faith. Today, Lord, we're going to learn how to rejoice and be glad. We're going to learn how to build our lives, our mental stability, our emotional health, our spiritual vitality, our relationships. We're going to learn today how the joy of the Lord is our strength, so that we may experience those gifts. We thank you for our eternal life. We thank you for the hope we have in Jesus. We thank you for the cross and that our sins are forgiven. Help us now learn how to apply these truths to our everyday life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, you know, the best way to train this is to sing. You're going to sing with me. Ready? And this is what we're going to sing. Psalm 118, verse 24, is my favorite hymn. Psalm 118, verse 24, and let me read it to you. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You ready? This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord. Yourself a round of applause. You sound good. Now, yes, please. Now, I, as you know, I was just mic'd while singing. That's rare. It's fine. Yeah, that's one of my kids' sticker. Pretty cool, huh? Now, I believe that one of the best ways to train the joy of the Lord is your strength, is to make singing a habit of your life. Worship is a daily discipline. Worship to music is a daily discipline. It's not just something we do on Sundays, but it's something we can do 24/7. And when you get up in the morning, and instead of turning on your favorite network news or your favorite social media feed, you can sing. You can open up the scriptures and pray. Because there is hope in Jesus. Before you face the news, before you deal with the conflict at work, and please, before you open up your work emails, you know, sing. This guides you and anchors you in your salvation. Now, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21 teaches us that people who are filled with the Holy Spirit are to gather together as a community of believers to speak the truths of God to one another through song. So let me read that to you. This is, just for you, if you're taking notes, Ephesians 5, 17 to 21. Paul says, "So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of the Lord." So we hear from this admonition of the Apostle Paul that when we gather, we're to sing. We're to sing psalms. We're to sing hymns, and we're to sing spiritual songs. That means you have a blended worship style. Sorry. Church issue. So, you know, we sing lots of different kinds of songs because we're edifying people through the truth that's found in music. Music is to lift our spirits. Now, the second thing we need to talk about, besides how do we train the joy of the Lord, is why. I believe that it honors God when we are joyful. Now, let me make a distinction here again. I am not talking about plastic Christianity. Okay? I'm not talking about grin and bear it. Okay? I am talking about an authentic relationship with God that gives you the ability to weather every storm of life, including death. I have been with a lot of people in their last moments, and there is a difference between someone who has the joy of the Lord as their strength and someone who does not. There is a peace, there is a hope, there is a joy that comes in the worst possible circumstances, not because we're faking it till we make it, that's what the world would say, but because we have a deep well of joy that defeats the worst enemy, death. So, We are to rejoice because it is a choice that we make based upon our faith. It is not in consideration of our circumstances. Rejoice, be glad and rejoice, flows from a place of your deep well of relationship with God, not your circumstances. So let me say this. This is going to come across sharp, possibly, but this battle drill is about obedience. This battle drill is not about feelings. This battle drill is about obedience to the promises of God and who you believe God is. Do you believe that God is who he says he is? Do you believe he's promised you the resurrection and the life? Do you believe he's promised to give you the fullness of joy? Do you believe he's promised to guard your heart and mind with the peace of God that transcends all human understanding? Do you believe that in your weakness you are strong because his grace is your sufficiency? Do you believe that you can be forgiven for everything you've ever said or done that violates the law of God? Do you believe that? It's from that belief, it's from that core conviction that you can rejoice and be glad in it. It's about obedience. It's to strengthen you for the mission of God, to shine God's light in dark places. And let me tell you, for those of you who like to be a little bit divergent, a little defiant, I know there's some divergent, defiant personality types in the room. Listen, when you rejoice and be glad in it, you are doing an act of defiance against evil. When you rejoice and be glad in it, you are doing an act of defiance against injustice in the world. You are declaring that this is not the way it's supposed to be. When you respond to tyranny and injustice, and when things just are not right, and you rejoice, and you say, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad." You are standing up with a protest sign and saying, "This is a fallen world. Death should not even happen anymore. And my joy in the Lord, my belief in God and his promises is an act of protest and an act of defiance against Satan and against the fall." The joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, Paul commands us in Philippians 4, verse 4. This is what Paul commands you. Remember, joy is an act of obedience, not a circumstantial feeling. It's a bedrock, okay? Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. All right, good. Now, if you can have any kind of joy while I'm singing with a mic, there's a good chance you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This is torment. I know. I apologize.
Every week now.
You know, my job is to try to help build the church, not decrease the church. Okay. So, the decision to submit yourself to Philippians 4:4, okay, has significant implications. Now, here we're going to get very personal. I'm all about mental health, okay? For those of you who don't know me, I have a counseling background. I have a master's in counseling in addition to all my theology work. So this is important stuff for me, all right? I believe your discipleship, your faith in Jesus should affect your life holistically, should affect every aspect of your being. You shouldn't just have this happy, clappy, plastic Christianity, and then you're a miserable, cranky person the rest of the time, all right? You should be a follower of Jesus in every circumstance. That doesn't mean we're plastic. It means we have a deep source of joy. So let me say this, okay? We're going to look at our Proverbs scripture here, and I'm going to tell you something. This is awesome. The decision, it's a decision to act in obedience, right? Obedience is a decision. Christian discipleship is your decision to act in faith according to the promises of God. Okay, so The decision whether you rejoice and are glad in it in the midst of any circumstance has significant implications. And I'm talking to you as your pastor and as a counselor, has significant implications on your emotional stability, your mental health, and your spiritual vitality. Okay, let me show this to you. Proverbs 15, verse 13. Proverbs 15, verse 13 says, "A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken." That's your emotional stability. Do you want emotional stability to be able to have emotional health going through whatever you're going through? I want you to have emotional stability, because here's what happens when someone's not emotionally stable through their circumstances. We often make it worse. We often hurt the people around us with the things we say or do because we're acting out of our woundedness instead of being a wounded healer. A person who has been wounded in their places of, healed in the places of their woundedness so that they can then comfort others, right? 2 Corinthians 1, so we can comfort others in the same way that God first comforted us, okay? Now, the second thing is, look at verse 14. Proverbs 15, verse 14 says, "The mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on folly." This is your mental health. Mental health. This is your ability to make good decisions mentally, to think clearly even when you're in hard circumstances. Okay, the military trains the soldiers and the Marines really well to do this. When you're under fire, when you're under hard circumstances, and when someone's trying to kill you, you have the ability to still make good decisions. Okay? The third thing here is in verses 15 to 16. Proverbs 15, 15 to 16 says, "All the days of the afflicted are bad, but a cheerful heart has a continual feast." Did you hear this? The cheerful heart has a continual feast. Think of the heavenly feast. Think of the word of God that Jesus had food you did not know about. Verse 16, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure in turmoil with it." This is your spiritual vitality. You can feast on the Lord. You can have not only emotional stability, you can have mental health, and you can have a growing spiritual vitality no matter the circumstances of your life. That is the promise of God. And that is not based upon something we can do. It's based upon what the Holy Spirit does in us when we submit ourselves and trust the Word of God. So obedience. This is the promise of discipleship. When you obey the commands of God because you love Him, He then gives you the ability to become more and more mature, reflecting Jesus, not just spiritually, but also how you do relationships, how you think, how you emote, how you feel. Okay? It's about faith. So let me give you this bedrock truth. Hey, Emily, how am I doing on time? It's about faith. I'm rocking it. All right, great. It's about faith in your commander. Okay, so here's the deal. This is not about you having faith in yourself to be able to hold it together when bad things happen. Do not put faith in your flesh that you're mentally strong enough, that you're emotionally stable enough, that you're relationally healthy enough, that you're spiritually powerful. No, but you know what makes prayer powerful? You know why prayer works? It's because of the person you're praying to.
That's right.
You pray to the tree, you get nothing. You can pray all day long if you want to the tree. You can pray to the doorknob if you want. You can pray to your spouse if you want. You're going to get nothing. Okay, well, if you're actually praying to your spouse, that's called manipulation. You know? When you use prayer to try to communicate something to your spouse, that is actually very unhealthy relationally, and come see me for marital counseling if you're doing that. Okay, so prayer is a communication to the all-powerful God who is capable of doing miracles. Prayer isn't powerful. The person you're praying to is powerful. So make sure you're praying to Jesus, because the Bible says to pray in His name. All right. So we have to have faith in the commander. We cannot have faith in our feelings, faith in our perspectives, faith in our interpretations. Joy is about trust in God and His promises. And here's what I'm going to say, a caveat to this. As you mature more in Jesus Christ, and as you become sanctified more and more like Him, then you start finding that you start thinking His thoughts, feeling His feelings, and having His perceptions. We call that discernment. And that was one of the first rules. So do not be saying you can't trust yourself. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that you can grow in your ability to trust that what you feel and think and what you perceive is truth as you grow in relationship with Jesus. Okay? That's part of the maturity process, so you start thinking His thoughts. Now, I want to walk through really quickly a few scriptures that reinforce this to you, then we're going to keep moving towards the conclusion. Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." In the presence of Yahweh, in the presence of the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of the Bible, the God who sent forth His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, in His presence, the Bible says, is fullness of joy. Now get this. I want to show that to you in the Psalms, because what does Jesus say? Jesus said in John 17, verse 13, "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves." Wow. So Jesus came so that we may have joy in the full, because Jesus came to bring us this joy from the Father. And then one more, Romans 15, verse 13. And this is a beautiful passage to study. "Now may the God of hope," so the God of hope, the God in which we hope in, the one who promises the resurrection and life. "Now may the God of hope fill you." Okay, how does He fill us? He fills us with the Holy Spirit. And when He fills us with the Holy Spirit, we have everything we need for life and godliness. That's 2 Peter 1. Okay, so "now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." There it is again, in belief. In belief, obedience to Christ is about belief. It's not about legalism. It's not about earning your way to heaven. It's love. I tell my kids all the time, hey, if you love me, you will do this. It's not manipulation. It's just this acknowledgement that, hey, these are the way things work. When you disobey me or disrespect me, then you are not demonstrating faithfulness. You're not demonstrating love. It's the same way with God, but God loves with a perfect love. Okay, so "now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So when you have Jesus, then you have God. And when you have Jesus and you have God, they give you the Holy Spirit. And when you have the Holy Spirit, you have the joy of the Lord, who is your strength. You have dwelling in you everything you need to survive the worst possible emotional, relational, vocational, financial hardship. You can survive a mental crisis. You can survive an emotional crisis. You can survive a relational crisis. You can survive a workplace crisis. You can survive a financial crisis. Why? Because God has given you the Holy Spirit, who is the fullness of God. So when you train yourself to rejoice and be glad, how much time I have left, Emily? Because I'm coming to the end. I want to finish strong here. 23 minutes. All right. 5 minutes. We're going to finish this. Okay. What did I say? Did I say 20 to 30? I did. Okay. I'm going to keep my word to you. All right. When you train yourself to rejoice and be glad in it, when you train this as your way of life, as a battle drill, and not simply as a response to your circumstances, but as the good fruit of the Holy Spirit at work in you at all times and all circumstances, then, pay attention, then you're living on mission. Okay? Living on mission is about actually image-bearing God to the world, that you are reflecting the image of God wherever you go. And let me tell you, what are people watching you the most? If you're in charge of a school, or if you're in charge of a business, if you're in charge of a program, you know when people watch you the most? It's when something happens. They want to see how the boss responds. They want to see how the Christian responds. They want to see how the parent responds. They want to see how the director responds. They want to see how you, the person who raises your hand on Sunday mornings, or not. Somebody cross your arms, that's okay. You know, the person who worships on Sunday, they want to see how you respond to hardship and crisis, to death and dying. So, learning to rejoice and be glad in it is not plastic Christianity of faking it till you make it. It is the authentic response to trusting that God has a better plan than you can see in the moment. And this is how we finish strong. This is how we live on mission. It's called resilience. Resilience is the ability to not just get back up after you've been knocked down. It's the ability to bounce forward. I've been knocked down. Okay, I'm not just going to get myself up. I'm going to bounce forward. This is going to be an opportunity for the Lord to be glorified. When the joy of the Lord is a deep bedrock of our souls, we can experience human realities, anger, grief, sadness, without being displaced from the rock of God's joy. But when you let grief or anger or sadness take over your life, then you have been moved into the shifting sands of human emotion. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with human emotion, but it must remain under the lordship of Jesus. And that's why he's given you the joy of the Lord as your strength, so you don't lose your bearing and you don't lose your ministry and you don't lose your mission when you're angry, when you're sad. But that God can use you in that moment because he wants you to be built upon the rock of obedience to the word of Jesus Christ. Give me 2 minute warning when we get closer, right? You can experience the hardships and injustices of this life. I told you that. You've got to be a Christian in the real world. I do not want you hiding from the real world. If you're going to be on mission, you've got to be in the real world. The real world of your family, the real world of your neighborhood, the real world of your community, the real world of our state and our nation, the real world of the nations and the international crisis that we find ourselves in. You've got to be on mission. You can't hide, but you need strength. And that strength comes from what God has done for you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You are secure in the Father's love. You are secure in God's sovereign grace. Nothing can take you from the Father's hand. Nothing. You are secure. You are safe. So get out there and love and be joyful, because that's where your joy and your love comes from. It comes from faith in the God who has you secure. And we live on mission by reflecting the heart of Jesus Christ. We live on mission by conducting our business God's way. This is our calling. This is who we are. We are the image bearers of God. So I'm going to close this scripture. Philippians 2, verses 12 to 18. Philippians 2, verses 12 to 18. So here we go. My closing scripture. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. Here we go. Listen to this. Holding fast for the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I'll have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out, even if you are being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice, and I share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. Paul commands us to have joy because Jesus Christ did not respond to the cross with joy. Jesus Christ went to the cross because of joy. That's Hebrews 12. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him. Consider him who endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Why did Jesus go to the cross? For the joy that was set before him. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that it was for the joy set before you. It was because you had a deep bedrock of joy that you went to the cross so that we can be forgiven of our sins. So Jesus, forgive us of our sin. Forgive us, O Lord, when we rebel and do not live according to your ways. So Father, forgive us of our sins. Please, O Lord, come and work and move in us now so that we may go into our circumstances for the joy set before us. This is your mission and your plan for our lives as image bearers of God. Help us to train this battle drill to be a reflective, instinctive, and habitual part of our Christian life so that we can, with Charlie Mike, continue the mission. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.